I left last Sunday night. I took a red eye to Ohio and went to meet with my daughter I had not seen in 8 years. Meet my grandson and my granddaughter that I had never met. And Carly had come up there with the boys, and Delonda was there, so all my grandkids together in one place, just having a great time of fellowship and connecting this week. And you know, when I got there, I had it all planned because she didn't know I was coming. I just bought a ticket and I said, I'm going to show up. And so I bought the plane ticket back in June, and she's on me because next Sunday night, Pastor Jesse and I are going to China. So that was my excuse as to why I couldn't come. I got to go to China, so I can't come right now, you know. But I bought the ticket, and I went, and I sat out in front of her house because I was going to tell her, come outside, you know, go outside. I'm looking at your house on a satellite, and I want to see if I can see you, you know. So I called, and I called again, and I called again. She still didn't answer. I'm like, oh, man. So I went up to the front door, and I just as I was about to knock, her husband seen me. And he come, and he opened the door, and he goes, who knew you were coming? And I'm like, what do you mean, man? Give me a hug. Come on. And he gave me a hug, and I said, only Delonda knew I was coming. And so he brought me in, and he said, Krista, you have a visitor. And they were in the back of the house, and she came out, and when she saw me, she ran. And she jumped into my arms, and she just wrapped her arms around my neck, and she cried and cried and cried, and it was just a beautiful moment of restoration. Yeah, amen. God is so faithful, so don't give up. It's good to have you with us, Gary, back from Kenya, hallelujah, and Abe and Shirley back from France and all over Europe, hallelujah. It's great to see you guys in the house of the Lord today with us. You know, but I know that God is a God that restores and he redeems situations. And, you know, God gave us a promise that he would do that. And even that week before Krista had texted me and said, Dad, can we have a relationship again? Delonda and I were talking. We said, Lord, it's in your hands, you know. If you don't ever want to do it, that's okay. We love you. We love her, you know, but we know we can't do this. We said that on a Wednesday, and on Friday is when she texted me and said, hey, could we have a relationship? And so this was our first gathering of the whole family this last week, and it was a great time. It did have its hiccups, though, I'll tell you. You know, when you get all them kids together, somebody's going to get hurt. So my one grandson is Connor. He's used to playing alone, you know, and his other four cousins come, Nehemiah, Toby, and Micah, and Jaden. Well, they were going to play baseball. So Nehemiah had the bat, and somebody threw him the ball, and he whacked it, and Connor ran right into the bat. Knocked him out, had to call an ambulance and everything, you know. And so it wasn't without its hiccups, you know. But God's grace is sufficient, amen. I just feel impressed right now by the Spirit of God. Maybe you're here today, and you got a relationship that's just been severed, and you're believing for restoration. I believe what God's doing in me, he'll do for you. So if you got a relationship that you say, I need some restoration there, just stand up, amen, come on. Anybody else? Come on, come to the front. Let's just do it right now. God knows, amen. I didn't know what was in me, the hurt, the pain that I was feeling until she texted me that day. And I began to wail because I missed her so much. So I can relate to you today with the pain that you're going through. But I do know this. I know that God redeems. And God can change a situation with a text. So, Father, we come into agreement right now with our brothers and sisters right now for restoration. You are the God that redeems and the God that restores situations. And Father, I pray right now that whatever wall has been put up to stop it, come down today in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, that forgiveness would run like a living water that we've been singing of. Let forgiveness flow today, Father God. And Lord, let it rain down upon the people of God. And Father, that there be a transformation. I pray right now for phones to ring. I pray for texts. I pray for emails. I pray for open doors to come right now. That there be just a letting go of the hurt and the pain of yesterday and an arising to the occasion of who God is today. Let forgiveness flow and restoration begin today, Father. And Lord, we declare it, we claim it, and we believe for it today in agreement. And you said, if any two agree on any one thing, it shall be done. And if you're in agreement with me today, just shout amen. 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 Hallelujah. All right, you can be seated. Hallelujah. But now believe. Don't go by what you see. Because what we see isn't always what God's doing. Amen. He's a God that restores. Hallelujah. Praise God. I didn't know that all you had that. But I do know that God restores. Amen. Okay, today we're on missions 3. We've talked about Jerusalem, Judea. Now we're on Samaria. Samaria, go ahead and put up next slide. There is our Samaria right there. You see that? The United States of America, our Samaria. We live over here in the little corner of California. That is our Samaria. Jerusalem is the Inland Empire. Judea is California to us, and that is our Samaria right there. And what a beautiful picture that is. What a beautiful place to live. Let me tell you, when you go out to these other places that I've been to, man, America the beautiful. Wonderful. I was with my daughter, and I had my plane. I had to turn in the car at 3:40 on Thursday. I said, you know what? I told her when I got there, I said, I'm leaving at noon on Thursday. She goes, well, what time does your plane leave? I said, well, I got to turn the car in at 3:40. She goes, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to drive. She's like, what do you mean? I said, I'm taking a ride. I've got to see America the beautiful. Man, I went up along Lake Erie, and I drove along the coast up there. It is so beautiful. You guys got to venture out a little bit more in this nation. It is incredible. And man, the sights along Lake Erie, and I was driving along, and I saw an Assemblies of God church, which we are. So I pulled in. The pastor was outside. I said, hey, I'm Rod King, and I'm from California, and I pastor an Assembly of God church there, and I just want to meet you. And he's like, really? I said, yeah. So we talked, and he took me on a tour of his church, and it was called the Lighthouse Church. And he said, listen, he said, if you continue down this road a little bit, go over the bridge, you'll see a Catholic church. Make a right and go all the way down to the end, and there'll be a lighthouse out there. And he goes, it's just a beautiful place. It's where Lake Erie and the Huron River comes out of Lake Erie. And there's a beautiful lighthouse on the end of that channel there. So I went down there, but it was really nice meeting Tom, and I'm praying for him that God just, they have a great food pantry and everything like we do, and it's just a blessing to meet him. So get out and see America, amen? Why don't we stand, and we're going to read the word today, and this is our scripture that we're focused on, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would stir our hearts with your plan and purpose for our lives, Lord, whether it be from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, that, Father, you would open up our eyes to what you have planned for each one of our lives, and, Father, that we would enter into it. We would receive your plan, and we would rejoice in it today, Father. So, Father, we thank you for this time to be in your word, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, the I didn't talk about it. Go ahead and put that verse back up there for me. Back up. Yeah, there you go. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. The word witness is in the Greek where we get the word martyr from. So it means, basically, to be a witness means you're dying to yourself to testify of Jesus. Because we got to overcome self, don't we? You got to overcome our insecurities. We got to overcome rejection. We got to overcome fears. And that's what he's telling us. You shall, he's empowering you to lay down your life for the gospel's sake. He's empowering us to be able to share the kingdom of God with people. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And as part of our outreach to America, our Samaria, you know, we have planted a church in Louisville, Kentucky with Greg and Carly Lucky. The name of their church is World Rock. Amen. We can give them a big hand. Hallelujah. They're back in their home right now because where they were renting a hall at, the neighborhood just wasn't conducive for what they're doing. So they're back in their home. And, you know, for Greg and Carly to get up and leave California to go to a place they've never lived. They'd been to Kentucky. They went and checked it out. That was a big step. And, you know, since they've been there, they've had their last child, little Jaden, which we dedicated here last year to the Lord. And they've settled into that city, and the kids have settled into the school system there, and the atmosphere of a whole different kind of environment, you know, learning to drive in snow and wind and rain and all that good stuff. And so now they said they have about 22 people coming to their home right now on Sundays to have church. And so keep them in prayer. And, you know, they're not part of our missions program yet, to where we support them monthly, but there are people in the congregation that give to them monthly, and that money gets sent to them every month. I know I've been trying to minister to one lady's daughter, and so she likes that I do that, so she gives money every month to World Rock. I'm like, wow, okay. She says, I'm sowing for your family because you're sowing into my family. And I'm like, wow, praise God, I like that. So that's Greg and Carly. And then we have Joe and Michelle Newell. They're Chi Alpha campus pastors at the University of North Carolina. And they do outreach on the campus of North Carolina. And so they're back there, Joe and Michelle Newell. Then we have Brandon and Kendra Kirsten. They're at Chi Alpha Campus Ministries, also at Grossmont College down in San Diego. And they're serving down there, reaching out to the college students. How many of you know college students need ministered to also? Amen? And then we have John and Judy Heidi, the Senior Adult Ministries. They're actually right now filling in as the pastors at Leisure World in Seal Beach. But they travel around the country reaching the seniors of America. I think it's 40% of our population is 60 and above. So people are living longer. So they're working to reach them for Jesus across the U.S. So these are the ministries that we're currently supporting in the U.S. in our Samaria, so that, you know, we can't always go. We've sent Greg and Carly, but we can always help people go. Amen? And, you know, and I'm just going to throw this out, Pastor Jesse. If you feel led to help Pastor Jesse and I next week to go to China, I mean, we already have our plane tickets, but it takes a few bucks to get around there and do what we do. Just put it in an offering envelope and write China on there and drop it in the offering box. And that'll go to pay for our hotels and everything if you want to help. And but World Rock, as I said, is not part of our missions giving. It's a part of us, you know, so I help Greg with all I can. You know, I've even gave him my personal projector so they could have things, you know, got him a computer, everything, software and stuff. He does all our design work for New Hope. He still designs all our bulletins and all the artwork that comes through New Hope. He designs it all. So they're very much a part of us. But we haven't supported them as a mission yet. But one of the things that we're going to do in March, on the dates of March 9 through 12, we're having a missions conference here. And it's going to be Thursday night, Friday, all day, Saturday, and then Sunday morning. And our objective is to stir your heart for missions. Because I know a lot of people, you give to other ministries and stuff. But we want you to focus in on what God is doing here and to sow seed into the missions here. Right now we've been asking everybody to give $10 a month to missions, every person. Now, if every person did that, it would almost cover what we're doing right now. Almost. So we need some people to do more than $10. Amen. So we support BGMC, which is a boys and girls ministry through the Assemblies of God. We support Light for the Lost, which is a missions for youth ministry. And what that is buying cars for missionaries. Project Hope, which is bringing hope through women's ministries around the world. Speed the Light, which is a ministry of printing products so that missionaries don't have to worry about getting things printed and stuff, that they can get it printed here in Springfield and get it sent to them. And then a ministry called Feed One, which is feeding hungry children around the world. And so we donate to those every month right now and reach out as we can. And, you know, there are ways we're reaching out in Samaria, but we're not limited. These are the ways we're reaching out, but we're not limited to this. We can do more, amen? We can do more as we have more funds to do more. We always want to give into missions. But when it comes to missions outside of where you live, you need to know that God is calling you to it. Amen? If it means relocation and starting over, you need to know that God said to go. You know, I know that when we relocated over into China, I knew God called us there. For my wife to say yes, I knew God called us there. Because that was a big deal, you know. We just had our first grandson, and then we were taking off and moving halfway around the world. And so you got to know that God is calling you to go out and start over. You know, the Luckys had felt for some time for them to move to Kentucky. The first year they got married, they wrote down 10 cities in the U.S. that they felt compelled for. And then they went in separate rooms and they prayed. And when they came back together, they had both circled Louisville, Kentucky. So they got in the car and they went out there. They went out there and they, you know, looked around. My little brother lives there, so they stayed with him for a few days and they checked it all out and everything. And then they came back. And Greg had a good job, was making upwards of $80,000 a year here, doing really well. And he comes to me one day and he says, God is saying it's time for us to go to Kentucky. I'm thinking, no, he ain't. Oh, come on, now he's got three of my grandsons. You know, I'm like, no, he ain't. You know, why don't we do this? I said, why don't we plant a church on your side? You could do it on Saturday night and you could still lead worship on Sunday morning. He's like, well, I'll pray about it, Dad. He comes back and he says, nope, Dad, God's saying that we got to move. I'm like, God, come on, really? And I really didn't want him to go. We're really close. You know, I mean, Carly and I, Greg and I, Greg is like my own son. And I said, okay. I said, get out of the lease in your house. Move in with me for 6 months. As soon as the kids get out of school, we'll move you out to Kentucky. He's like, really? I said, absolutely. So they moved in with us, and the journey started. And when they moved in with us, I was looking for a sermon that I had preached years ago with some facts in it. So as I was looking for the sermon, I found an old email that Greg had sent me. And it was a 14-page document that he had wrote to me after his first trip to Kentucky, the first year they got married. Now here they're in their eighth year of marriage, and I'm reading this document of what God is showing them for Kentucky. And I'm like, oh, you gotta go. You know, as hard as it was to release them to go, I knew it was God's will. But the big thing that they had to do is they had to step out of the boat. And that's number one today. You were kind of talking about that, Amanda, when you're up there. I'm like, she's going to preach my message right now. Step out of the boat. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 and 29, it says, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, Tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Getting out of the boat is not an easy thing. You know, we're not designed to walk on water. You know, we're designed to be in the boat. That's why we built them. You know, and to step out of the boat requires faith. Amen. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I remember we had a men's retreat one year. Pastor Fred Rodriguez was speaking. He says, if what you're doing doesn't take faith, then it's not of God. It's like, whoa. How much can you do on your own? Stepping out of the boat will take you out of your comfort zone. And we like our comfort. No amens to that? We do like our comfort. We like to be comfortable. So when you step out of the boat, you're stepping out into a place that you don't always know everything that's going to happen. Now, Greg took almost a half cut in pay to move to Kentucky. And you said, well, it's cheaper to live. Not that much. Let me tell you, not that much. They had to make major adjustments. I think they're finally just getting adjusted to the lifestyle back there. It's a challenge. You know, but Ezekiel talks about the water. He talks about the ankle-deep water, the knee-deep water, the waist-deep water. And he talks about water, stepping into water that's over your head. You know, when you're at a river, when you're in the ankle-deep water, it's where the pollution is. It's where all the junk flows to. It's where, you know, if somebody threw a can in the river, you know where it's going to go? It's going to go in the ankle-deep water. If somebody breaks a bottle, it's going to be in the ankle-deep water so that you can step on it, you know. And then you go out into the knee-deep water, and it starts getting a little rocky. But when you get in the waist-deep water, man, you're fighting to hold your ground. You don't want to fall over. You don't want to get caught up. But when you get in to where it's over your head, you have no control. You're just going, Ed. You're just flying down that river. When we were whitewater rafting up on the Kings River one time, man, we got in the middle of that river, and we're just flowing. And the guide told us this. He said, if you fall out, stay in the middle of the river. It doesn't seem safe in the middle of the river because the water's over our head. But he said, stay in the middle of the river because if you get out to where it's waist deep or ankle deep, the boat can't go backwards and get you. So you're going to miss out on the whole trip if you don't stay in the flow. And it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. You step out into the deep water to you flow where God wants you to be. Amen. How God wants you to be, how God wants to, what God wants to do in your life. And that's not always easy because we do have our comfort zone that we like to be in. We like to be comfortable. It's great to be comfortable. But when you're stepping out onto the water, you release your comfort zone. And it doesn't mean you won't ever have comfort. It just means that you're saying, okay, God, I'm going to do it your way. Now understand, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, one is not greater than the other. You know what I'm saying? Like, Robert, if you're called to Corona, praise God for Corona, amen. If you're not called to go to the ends of the earth, praise God. Corona is just as important as the end of the earth. Amen? California is just as important as going over to China. The United States is just as important as going to Brazil or going to Pakistan or going, you know, to Indonesia or whatever. They're all important. Amen? Why? Because they all have people that need Jesus. Amen? So there's none more important than the other. But for every single one of them, it takes faith to step out of the boat to be active and involved in ministering to one of those groups of people. To get out of the boat is a challenge. And it will stretch you. Like I said, you may not feel called to Samaria to do what Greg and Carly did. You know, to get up and go like that. Man, it's awesome that they did that. But I do know this, whether it's Corona or the ends of the earth, you're all called to somewhere to do something for Jesus. There's no one in this place today that is not called to do something for Jesus. But the word declares many are called, but few are chosen. And when I read that, this is what I hear. Many are called, but not everybody wants to. You're created for a special plan for God. He has purpose for you. Doesn't matter where you're at today, He has purpose for you. Because how many of you are perfect today? All right. I'm talking to the right crowd. Because we're not perfect. But, you know, the only thing that I've ever done in my life, I mean, I love Jesus. You know that. I serve Him. But I just say yes. I just keep saying yes to Him. That's all. I don't say no. Even when Pastor Dave used to ask me to do things, I would never say no. It didn't matter how much I had going on, what I had doing. I just never said no. I just kept running. And so while you're getting out of that boat, number two, learn to respond to the dreams and the vision that God gives you. You know, Acts chapter 10, Peter has this vision about food, meat, what was clean, what was unclean. And God said, don't call what I created common or unclean. It's all good. That's why we get to eat bacon today. Hallelujah. But he had this vision, but he had it for a purpose, because somebody came to him and said, hey, I need you to come with us to minister up here, to minister to a Gentile. See, and Peter hadn't yet stepped out and ministered to the Gentiles, but he had this dream and he had this vision, and because he had this vision, God expanded his ministry because he allowed the vision that God had given him to grow. He allowed it to come alive in him and said, oh, that's what this means. I'm to go with you and I'm to minister. And when he went, he started preaching to the people. He started telling Cornelius' household about Jesus and who Jesus was and what he did. And the Holy Spirit fell on them and they all began to speak in tongues, the word says. Well, Peter said, well, we can't deny baptism now, can we? You know, because they were Gentiles, you know, and there's that riffle between the Jews and the Gentiles. And Peter goes, well, we got to baptize them. Now look, they're all praying in tongues, just like we did. So because he captured the vision that God had given him and ran with it, God expanded his territory and what he could do. And I believe that God wants to expand your territory. I had a dream on Friday. I was praying, I was laying in bed, I was praying about this message today, and I had a dream while I was laying there. And what I saw is I saw a bunch of your faces, married couples. And what I saw was a lot of turmoil. And in praying about it, I just, Lord, what does this mean? He said, I typed it out. He was showing me married couples and the trials that they were under that was causing stress in their marriage. That the trials of life that you guys are going through causing stress in your marriage and bringing turmoil there. So why don't we just bow our heads for a minute? Let's not skip this. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, you're talking about me right now. The trials of life have been causing stress in our relationship. And I'd like you to pray for us today. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. Okay, wow. See, God knows. Amen. Many, many hands went up right now. So, Father, we come before you today. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're the God of peace. And I pray right now, Father, that just an impartation of peace upon the people of God. That, Lord, that we would let the trials be given over to you today. And that, Lord, that love would abound in our homes. Lord, many people are being stretched and pulled, and there is turmoil, God. But you, God, are the God of peace. I pray that you'd intervene in our lives today. And we would set those cares aside all to the glory of God, that you would reign in our life. I pray for the peace in marriages. I pray for the love of God to flow. And Lord, that just the stress would decrease right now. Father, that you would just minister your love and your grace on these homes today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. See, that was my dream that I had on Friday, and I acted upon it today. But that was pretty easy for me, in the sense, just to ask you, pray for you, that's easy. But you're having dreams and visions of things that God is calling you, that you're really going to have to jump out of the boat on. But there's something that's been holding you back from that to get into that place where God has created you for. So responding to the vision may require a bigger step than praying for people on a Sunday morning. But if I would have asked one of you to come and pray, that might have been a big step for you. But I'm used to that. That's what I do. So it's easy for me. Like I said, with Gregory Lucky in his 14-page document, his big step was quitting his job, moving in with his in-laws, renting a moving truck, and going to a place that he'd never seen before. We showed up at that place that he rented online, and it was a nice place. But it was a big, big step. And your dreams and visions may require a big step, bigger than you've been willing to take. And I can remember the first time that Delonda and I took a step and went to China. You know, you hear all these horror stories, and you know, my first talk with anybody on China was how he had been imprisoned 4 times. How they had broke his legs and crippled him so he would never walk again, and how the Lord healed him, and how he walked out of a maximum security prison. That's my first taste of China. I'm like, ooh. Then we came back here. We were in England when we heard that. We came back here. I met a man, and he says, I tell him, hey, I met this guy in England. And he says, well, we're going to go to China. Maybe you ought to consider coming to the meeting. And when we went and we heard, Delana's like, we're going. I'm like, it's $1,800 a person. She says, we're going. My first thought was, I have enough money for me to go, but I don't know about you. So she said, no, God's calling me to go. And I had a machine shop at the time, and this guy calls me. He says, hey, Ron, I got a production job. Will you do it? I said, how much does it pay? He goes, $1 a piece. I said, how many parts? He said, 1,800. I said, let me... I called Delonda. I said, hey, I got a production job. It pays $1,800. You want it? And she said, absolutely. And she went in and she did a great job. She ran that job for me every time it came through, too. It was great. But God blessed us with that opportunity to go to China. You see, because when God gives you a dream and vision, and you're stepping out of the boat with the dream and the vision, number three, it takes faith. It takes faith. You got to have faith. You got to believe that Jesus is in control, amen? You got to know that God's got it, and you're stepping out in faith to go and do it. You know, when it comes to missions and going places, when I feel compelled to go, I'll say yes. I mean, because I get invited all over the world every day. But when I feel like this is a God plan, I say yes. Now, I say yes without having the money. I don't say, well, let me see if I can come up with the money. I told this guy I was going to come see him in India. Man, I said, I'll do a crusade from 10 to 1 on Saturday at this date. He's got flyers and banners going up already. I'm like, wow, that was fast. He's taking a step and going. Well, I said, I'll give you 3 hours. And he's like, well, I need you to come on a Friday night. I said, I'll give you 3 hours Saturday morning. That's all I got. And he's just blowing it up, man. He's got this banner made and everything. He sent me the design. I'm like, wow. This guy in Indonesia, he invited me to come. And I just say yes. Because God told me, go where you're invited. The That's my dream, to go where I'm invited. That's my vision. And to love on you as much as I can. To challenge you to walk by faith every day. Because we get so comfortable that we get afraid to step out. We get so relaxed that we're just, I don't know if I could do that. Sometimes, you know, like when I was in Peru last month, Robert, even the pastors in Peru, they said, God's grace is on Ron. Because when they look at what I do for them, they're like, how does he do it? And I know it's only because of God's grace. Because, Maria, I say yes. I just say yes. And I take that step. And I trust God. I mean, I told you where, you know, I was worshiping today. And I asked the Lord, should I mention to them that they could give to China? And the Lord said, you need to give them opportunity to sow into around the world. You need to give them opportunity. I'm like, okay. But I'm not going to stand up here and say, I really need you to give me money so I can go to China, because I'm going. You know, next Sunday night, we got the red eye out, 11:50 p.m. We're... because God's favor is on it to do it. And so we go. And I have a wonderful deacon team that said, Ron, you need to go. You need to do these things. But it takes faith. You got to step out. And so I want to challenge you today to step out of your boat, to step into the vision that God is giving you for your life, and live by faith. You won't always have the money. When I said yes to Pakistan, it was going to cost me $5,000. I know, that was a lot of money I didn't have. I said, but you know what I did have? Rick, I had $185. That's what I needed to get the visa. So I applied for a visa. I said, Lord, I'm sowing seed. I'm going to sow $185, get this visa to go to Pakistan. And I sowed seed. Then somebody gave me $2,000. Then somebody gave me $1,200. Then somebody gave, by the time I left, I had $6,000. Amen. See, so when you step out in faith, you put it into God's hand to meet the need, amen? But if we hold back and we say, well, you know, if I waited for every trip that I went on, well, let me see if I can save the money. I'd probably go once every 3 years. All my trips, all my vacations are spent visiting my grandkids in Kentucky and Ohio right now. But what is God putting to you? You know, we for 3 weeks we had a brother come and teach on dreams and visions. It was a great time. You know, the people that came on those Wednesday nights were ministered to. It was just a fabulous time on dreams and visions. And we're going to do a one-day seminar on that coming up. We haven't set a date yet, on a Saturday, to teach you about how to interpret your dreams and visions so that you can. Because in Acts chapter 2, it says, in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I guess I'm an old man. I had a dream. Hallelujah. Your old men will dream dreams. And even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days and I'll prophesy. So the idea is that God gives us dreams and visions to speak to us through. So, and we've got to learn to interpret and see what God is saying to us so that we could fulfill it, amen? Because that's, it says it right there. See visions, young men see visions, old men dream dreams. So God is speaking to us through visions and dreams, and now it takes faith to trust what you're seeing and hearing and understanding to step out in it. Can I hear an amen? It's a challenging thing to do that, but when you do it, it's incredible. So faith, as I said, is agreeing to go and do even before you can see how. Faith is agreeing with God Faith is agreeing with God. We've got to learn to agree with God, what he says. Agree with God and what he's showing us. Don't be of the mindset, no, I can't do that. No, no, that's not me. You know, you might look at it and you think, oh, no way. I'm looking at Pakistan and India, and I'm doing them on the same trip in 11 days. I'm going to Pakistan and India, and I'm thinking, but I know this, God's got it, and he's going to make a way. He's making a way. Somebody already bought me my plane ticket, so. Yeah, amen. Somebody said, hey, I'm buying your plane ticket. You know what they told me? They said, we don't like that you go to Pakistan, but we're going to buy your plane ticket because the Lord said. I'm like, well, then it's confirmation, I'm to go. So, but faith is agreeing with what God is showing you. Amen? If any two agree on any one thing, it shall be done. So come into agreement with God today for the plan for your life. Step out of the boat and let dreams and visions come to life for you. If he can do it for the luckies, he'll do it for you. And his hand is on them right now. And it's awesome to see. So, today, let's make a prophetic act. Why don't we all stand? Put your stuff down. Mario, you can throw a little music on there. And you may not like to come down to the front. You may not want to, you know. But I believe that we're to make a prophetic act of stepping out of the boat to saying, okay, God, what you have for me, I'm willing to listen. So I want to call you just to step out and step to the front today. And let's come into agreement in prayer today. That we're stepping out of the boat. Praise God. We're stepping out of the boat today. Is it easy, Ed? No, if it was, everybody would. But we're stepping out. It's okay. God's got it. I can remember when we were younger, Delonda said no, because she thought, we're going to end up in Africa somewhere. Well, now she's okay with going to Africa. You know. So why don't you just join hands with somebody right now? Here, man, I'm right here. Hallelujah. Ha ha. Let's just agree today to listen to the Lord. Let's agree to step out as he's calling us. And it may be just to share with your neighbor Jesus. It may be to go on a mission trip to Kentucky and help Greg and Cardi for a week. It may be to go to China with me one day. So, Father, we praise you and we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we're making a prophetic statement today by stepping out, Father, I pray that, Lord, that we don't lose focus of who you are in our lives. But, Father, that we would have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to each one of us. And, Lord, that as you challenge us in these days ahead, that, Lord, we'd be willing to remember this day that we've stepped out, to go where you call us to go, to do, to open our mouth, to speak, to do the things of the kingdom of God, that we can change somebody's life, whether it's giving them bread, Father God, or speaking a kind word to them, Father. Let us be willing to get out of that boat and to walk in faith of what you've called us to, Father. From our Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, Father, stir our hearts with a passion for what breaks your heart. That we can be effective in this country. And that we can see lives changed. I thank you, Father God, for the step of faith that many have taken today. And Lord, I know that you're going to meet them right where they're at. Yeah, Father, that you'll be glorified in it all. We give you praise today, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. You all look like a bunch of good people. Good-looking people. Amen. And since you're such good people, I know you want to help us. We have 9 new babies coming into the church. 9, yeah. There's something in the water right now, so be careful. But 9 new babies. So we need some help in our nursery. So if you can help in nursery, I mean, you can be motherly, change diapers, and watch babies once a month or a month. Go see Pastor Lucia out in Children's Church and sign up with her, because we could really use your help. 9 babies is a lot. That's between us and Monte de Dios. And the other thing is, we're showing a great movie tonight, Miracles of Heaven. So come on out at 5 o'clock. We got all kinds of snacks for you and everything. Come and fellowship. We'll meet in the fellowship hall. It's a great movie. Bring a box of tissues with you, because it'll touch your heart. And we'll see you Wednesday night. Pastor Jesse will be sharing in here. You want to share something? Okay.
Just real quick, about 3 weeks ago.
Talk louder. It's on.
Okay. About 3 weeks ago, the Spirit of God just really was ministering to New Hope Family Worship Center, us as a body. And as Pastor Ron was talking today about being effective and being a witness, I believe that the Spirit of God said he was releasing an anointing upon our lives like never before. And what he was saying to me is that we will become a people of great influence. And so that's not only to our family members, but that's wherever that we go. Amen. And so that's on our jobs. No matter where we go, God is releasing such a powerful anointing upon our lives that we can minister to the needs of the people. And then so as Pastor Ron was sharing that word today, I believe that's what God wants to seal today. Amen. He wants to seal us with that anointing, the presence of God like never before, that we don't have to fear what the world can do to us. But instead of fearing the world, we would influence the world. We won't be influenced by the world, but we would change the world because of this anointing that the Spirit of God is releasing upon the people of God. There is such a great anointing that God wants to pour out on his people like never before. And you're the couple that minister abroad in Kenya, is that correct? I believe that God has such an anointing of the Spirit of God that he's releasing upon you guys' life like never before, amen? I believe there's a river that God is about to release in you and through you, that lives are going to be transformed. I believe even right now the Spirit of God is saying from heaven, he's expanding in your vision. There's some things that God is dropping into your spirit like never before. But God just wants you to do this, is continue to have faith. I believe that the lame is going to walk, amen? The deaf is going to begin to hear. Come on, somebody.
Yeah,
you're going to be able to do great and mighty miracles for the Spirit of God like never before. And I believe God is saying to you, never lose hope and never lose focus for what God is not done with you yet. Amen. He's just beginning the work. And I believe that God is releasing an anointing on you guys, that you're going to minister to people, young people, and you're going to raise them up. I believe there's such a teaching anointing and an equipping anointing that God is releasing upon your life. There's an anointing of the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you receive that? Amen. So God is moving by his Spirit today. Amen. So can I just say a simple prayer?
Yeah,
why don't we just release our hand? Come on, church. Come on. Father, we thank you. We receive the anointing of the Spirit of God today. God, your Spirit dwells within us. God, it's the rich heritage from heaven that we have today, God, that we would walk in the Spirit, and that, Lord God, we would not fulfill the lust of our own desires. But, Lord God, your desires will become our desires. Your heart, come on, will become our heart like never before, Father. We thank you, God. We're not living in yesterday, God, but today is the day that you're releasing the anointing of your Spirit, that we may do a greater work and be a people of great influence like never before, that we would touch the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. We say to Corona, awaken and be alive, because the Spirit of God has come to this city.
Yeah.
God, we thank you for the city of Crown and what you're going to do. And Father, we pray for Greg and Carly, God, that anointing would flow upon their lives in every missionary
carry, God, the great work that you call your people to do. And Lord, we don't do it in our own strength or might or power, but by the Spirit of God that is being released upon his church in the last days for his purpose. And God, from the youngest to the eldest, God, let the anointing of your river flow in our lives, God. And like Pastor Ron said, let us be sensitive in these days. Let us hear your voice clearly, Lord God. That we may do the work, the person at the gas station, the lady in the grocery store, that lady that is wounded because of her past and sees no hope for tomorrow. God, there's an anointing of your Spirit, and we receive it today in Jesus' name. And let the church shout amen today.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Well, you don't have to go because there's refreshments out in the foyer. So just take some time to greet somebody. Tell them you're glad to see them here today. You can have coffee or water and some donuts or refreshments and